Hey everyone, Connie here. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Before we continue, I'd like to take this opportunity to share with you my book called How to Start Your Virtual Assistant Business, 10 Steps to Earn Online as a Top-Notch Virtual Assistant. It contains 10 bite-sized chapters to build a thriving online business, have a consistent income, and get the time freedom you always wanted. It's a perfect gift for you or your loved ones who want to start an online business and work from home or anywhere. Check it out at conniezabala.com/VABook. Want a free chapter? Sure! Just visit bit.ly/VABook free chapter and get your copy. Again, that's bit.ly/VABook free chapter.
Greetings, fellow entrepreneurs. This is Connie and Belle of the Freelancing with Faith podcast.
We are both moms and entrepreneurs whose digital services are bound by our core Christian values.
On this platform, let's talk about tips and how-tos to help our transformational entrepreneurs grow their businesses online.
We also invite our fellow service providers as our guests so they can share their stories and experiences with us.
All these we do with the end goal of glorifying God by providing the best digital services to our clients.
We also have our weekly live praise and worship session.
We look forward to connecting with you. As you listen or watch, grab your favorite drink, pay attention, and take notes. Let us encourage one another to strengthen our faith and relationship with God because He provides for everything.
When He blesses us, He blesses our businesses.
To do that, make sure to subscribe or follow us. Get engaged and share your thoughts with us whenever you have the chance. We look forward to connecting with you. God bless you all. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon to you, whatever time you are watching us from. We are Connie and Belle, and I don't remember our tagline again.
Building a community of thriving freelancers.
Why do I keep forgetting it?
Because of the anyway, so many rebrands. Judge.
Yes. Still, oh my goodness, I can't find the file. Anyway, we are freelancing moms, and today is about freelancing and digital marketing and about faith. That's why this channel is called Freelancing with Faith. Welcome to our channel. If you are watching us for the very first time, make sure that you subscribe and click the bell to get notifications once we go live, which is usually Monday and Thursday. But before we move forward, our topic for tonight is how to sell a product or service through email via storytelling. Okay, so Sis Belle, go ahead.
Yes, go ahead with what?
Go ahead and share what we do on Monday.
I thought you want me to pray.
Oh yeah, please do. Please do the opening prayer as well.
Sis Connie is really all over the place tonight, so please bear with us. Okay, let's remember that we're in the presence of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we praise you. We glorify you. We honor you. We thank you for blessing us this past few days. We're grateful for all the resources and the people you're sending our way, so we're able to bless others and do what you called us to do. We ask for forgiveness for every wrongdoing we committed. We lift up to you every person who is watching and listening to this podcast. We pray that you open their hearts and minds so that whatever we share with them will create an impact on their businesses. We also lift up to you, Connie and I. Pour out your Holy Spirit in us so we'll continue to have the courage to say the right words, to share what you're teaching us with the goal of telling your truth. Help and remind us, including our brothers and sisters, that we're building and thriving in our businesses to glorify you and serve the people we work with. We believe that whatever success we have, we owe it all to you, Lord. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yes. Again, our topic for tonight is how to sell a product or service through email via storytelling. So, continue, Sis Beth.
Yes. For the benefit of those who are just seeing us for the first time, Connie and I go live every Monday and Thursday, same time, 8 p.m., but we do two different things on each day. Every Monday, we do our live praise and worship session, so we're inviting everyone to join us and start. Let's all start the week right by praising and worshiping our God. And then every Thursday, we talk more about freelancing, about digital marketing, about our work as digital, as virtual assistants. And also, we also interview guests from the different niches, the different industries. So if you're interested and wanting to learn more about how to become a VA or how to start their online freelancing business, do catch us live every Thursday at 8 p.m. So then.
And speaking of how to become a VA, I always, if you're curious, if you want a print version of starting, actual workbook of starting your VA business, go ahead and visit conniezabala.com/VA book to get your copy. It's available on ebook, print, audiobook. There.
With a foreword by?
Yes, John Pagulayan, our chief, our mentor. Okay. Am I forgetting anything? So go ahead, we have a special guest for tonight.
Yes. Let's not keep them waiting. So
yes, go ahead.
Yes, tonight, brothers and sisters, we have a very special guest joining us. His name is Noel Salazar. He's a multi-talented professional who has transitioned from being a full-time photographer to an email copywriter, content writer, and content strategist. He helps individuals and businesses tell their stories through engaging written content, helping them connect with their audience on a deeper level. We're excited to learn more as he shares his own stories. So without further ado, here's Mr. Noel Salazar.
Yay. Good evening, guys. Thank you for having me.
Good evening. Thank you for saying yes to our invitation. Welcome, welcome to our channel called Freelancing with Faith. So before we start with a little serious question, just share with us your short story. Aside from, we heard that you are a photographer and then you converted into an email marketer. Go ahead.
I'm actually not sure what to say because I really don't like talking about myself. But before everything else, before the pandemic happened, I was a full-time photographer, so I was shooting mostly weddings, then some a bit of food. So I was a wedding photographer from, I can't remember the year anymore, until full-time 2020. So then the pandemic happened, and obviously all the weddings stopped for that at that time. So what we did to survive actually was to start a food photography business. We call it Slice of Life Manila. So since our thought process there basically was, since people were doing food businesses during the pandemic, we're like, they probably need somebody to shoot professional photos for them. So that's what we did. So my wife does styling for the food and I do the shoots. And so yeah, we thrived actually in the pandemic. So our income, this is God, not us, obviously, because even during the pandemic, our income didn't go down at all. In fact, it went up even. So, so that's really, I really can't credit anybody else but God during that time. But then after a while, why did I transition to writing from food photography? I guess maybe it was more scalable in a sense. And at least I don't have to leave the house so much. Because we have a 1-year-old, at that time was one. Now we have a 5-year-old son. and we'd want to spend more time with him. So since I can earn money while staying at home, that's why I decided to transition to full-time writing. Although, of course, I still get rackets from time to time, photography rackets from time to time. What else? Yeah, I think that's a lot. I don't know what else to say.
No, it's okay. So, follow-up question. So, when you decided to that, you think it's time to have an online, you know, online gig. Was mm-hmm. is email copywriting the first choice, did you dabble from one, you know, like most freelancers do, try a lot of things before nailing it?
Actually, when 2020, I joined the tribe. So one thing we tried out first was social media, most actually focused on Instagram. That's okay, but I think we also got overwhelmed by having to be current all the time. Like, you have to keep releasing content all the time. It was kind of tiring. But then, you know, we were our first client, so we were able to, from 1 year, I think we got from 0 to 3,000 followers, so not bad. But at the same time, it was kind of trying to just keep releasing content. So, like, I think I want not so much lower volume, less pressure. I don't know. But I think it's because writing was all you needed was a laptop and Google Docs and an internet connection. So, you know, things are simpler. But I didn't start email copywriting. At first, I actually tried content writing because for some reason, when I was looking at Upwork 2020, I will literally use the word budol because some guy reached out and he was looking for a writer for articles about photography. And I didn't have writing experience that time, really. I mean, I guess my English is pretty good, but, you know, not like writing 800 words or something. So when I was starting out, it was 4 articles and I had to complete it in like 4 days or something. But I wasn't used to it. In fairness to that project, I finished it. He was happy. I earned 10,000 pesos. So actually, I think that time I was like, wow, this is an actual possible career, you know? Like, I can actually really make money out of writing, not doing photography. So 2021 came along, and thankfully, Mamu Liberty, she was a guest here before in podcast, right? So I enrolled in her content writing course, the Ben Button. And then from there, I went full-blown content writer for a while. But then for some reason, I also wanted to study copywriting. So next year, so after applying the content writing for a while, the next year, because I don't want to be a course hoarder, it's very expensive. As you all know, courses are expensive. I actually did that. It's funny because I mentioned it because before I got settled on anything, I also enrolled it in Box Society of Alan, no? And then I will admit it here, I really did it open. You know, I think after lesson one, I stopped opening it, but I was still getting charged in PayPal quarterly. So. Yeah, so it's not his fault. Okay, so I'm sure the lessons were great there, but it's not his fault. It's my fault. So yeah, I'm burning money basically. So thankfully I got past that and canceled the subscription. So anyway, the next year, after that, I decided to still do copywriting because one limitation I had with myself was I really didn't know how to sell anything, as in like, when you're looking for clients, you have to be able to sell yourself somehow, give your value. I didn't know how to do any of that. So I was like, I really need to learn copywriting. It's a need now. It's not a course hoarding urge. It's really something I need to do for myself. So I enrolled this time in Coach Miguel Campaner's Copywriting Fellowship. Fellowship or Foundation? Oh my God, please don't kill me, please. But one of those, Copywriting Fellowship or Copyright Foundation. How many weeks was that? At least, I think 2 to 3 months of just copywriting. And actually, one aspect of that was about emails. Then one of the coaches there was checking the work, saw that in one of my assignments, I wrote about a client of theirs. So they were like, hey, you want to join our team? Because you seem familiar with that particular client anyway, might as well just write for us also. So like, okay, sure, no problem. So that's how I got into emails, actually just writing for that client, and then Coach Migs added another client. But generally, yeah. Before I was actually targeting landing pages, long form copy. But then after I did emails, I realized, wow, it's so much shorter than content, it's shorter than landing pages, shorter than copy. So like, I think I love emails now. So
yeah, oh, your being a course hoarder paid off. It opened the door to that.
Yeah, but it was like foreshadowing.
It's okay. We're all familiar with online course hoarding.
There goes the confession.
That's a very expensive confession.
Yeah, so you actually mentioned some of the advantages of, you know, freelancing and all. Are there any disadvantages when it comes to running your freelance business?
Disadvantages, I think it would be, I think it's still the temptation of like the ability to earn anytime, anywhere, in the sense that you just keep on, if you're not careful, you will keep on taking clients and you won't necessarily be able to give them your best effort. So I think there was a time last year I was burnt out because I took on a lot. And so there was photography, there was writing, there was pretty much anything that I could get my money on. So I would say that September last year, was it last year? I forgot if it was 2021, 2022, whichever. So we earned more than our projected income, but I was so tired and I was not happy. Neither was my wife, because she kept saying, yes, you're just so tired every day and, you know, cranky and all that. So yeah, that's a disadvantage. You really have to ask yourself, do you really need that particular money, or can you just let it go since there's something coming next month? But yeah, if you're able to build your system in the first place where you get your clients, so you get monthly retainers, the temptation to get more will be lower. So that's really something that everyone should do.
Agree. It's kind of good disadvantage, actually. So it's like showing that it's time for you to expand, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a good disadvantage. What were your struggles during this time, during this journey, and how did you overcome it?
I think one disadvantage. So yeah, I joined the freelance movement in 2020, and I think one of my problems there when I joined was that I think I started to focus too much on photography. So remember, like, in for those who are listening, if you don't know the tribe, it's a bunch of freelancers. So you can call it a mastermind, a support group, whichever. But then most of the topics there, or most of what's offered there, is digital marketing. So I really knew nothing about digital marketing. I knew that it's like a whole new thing. Like, I didn't know anything what the heck a VA is. I didn't know what, I mean, I just know copywriting supposedly makes you a lot of money. I had no idea what an OVM was, you know, all that stuff. So I think there was a bit of an overwhelm on my part. So there was a point actually where there were accountability calls every week in the tribe, and I stopped attending like 3 weeks or something. So I think that was a struggle because I was feeling like I didn't know what the heck I was supposed to offer. I didn't know what I was doing. But you know, like, why am I here? I was asking myself, why am I here? But thankfully, I was able to talk to another freelancer, and he was kind enough to like send me like templates or whatever of offers that or a script at least of how I can offer my writing. So it worked. I got another client. So I think that helped. And of course, struggle as usual is you really have to start with how do I put this? Right, you have to show your value to clients so that they'll get you, even if you're a newbie. I don't think I was able to do that, to be honest, because I think I still had that mindset at that time of you have to go through levels. You have to go through like, you know, like beginner, intermediate, stuff like that. I still believe in that in a way. Maybe right now, I guess I'm more confident to offer or what I can offer or what I know. But I guess that comes from experience. So I think generally what my struggle was really my mindset at the time. Just going through this is actually I needed some self-development at that time. So it was nobody's fault but myself about talking about my value, whatever. So yeah, that was the real struggle. But thankfully, because of this freelancing journey and a lot of supportive people, I think I'm a better person than I was 3 years ago. So yeah.
Wow. Well, speaking of that, what, in spite of all those challenges, what is the biggest blessing you received since you started freelancing?
What did I receive? Well, I think one blessing really was that God never really, like I mentioned earlier, right, we didn't get poor in the pandemic. Like, a lot of people in my industry, in the photography industry, and my wife who did makeup regularly before, they're all going, shucks, we don't know when the events will come back. We have no idea how to make money, and they're all scrambling. But us, because I joined Tribe and then I applied some social media lessons, for example, we got a lot of clients. So actually our income was matching, even superseding actually the income we were generating before the pandemic. So I think that was a blessing because I could, you know, pursue more improvement of myself, improvement of the business, even if it was during the pandemic. So I think that's really the blessing. And I guess, you know, not to make chief or the tribe, but it's really when I joined the tribe and then I got to know the whole tribe and absorb everything they're teaching. Although I'm not going to say I watched all the videos. But just hanging out in the group itself, it just, I don't know, it just gives you that sense of support and people you meet and then the things that they post, so you just absorb, keep absorbing everything. I think that's the blessing itself, that they're like-minded people and that they really want to support you. It's not a dog-eat-dog world where even if they're succeeding, they don't want you to succeed. So I'm just thankful I experienced people who actually want you to succeed also.
Yes. Is my mic, sorry about that. Is my mic better now, Sis Connie?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
For me.
So
yes.
Anyway, going back to your point. So yeah, we're really blessed because we can feel inside the tribe that they're more into collaborations, right? Not really mm-hmm. competition. So that's our... that's our favorite dialogue here. Collaboration, brothers and sisters, not competition.
Yes. Before we move forward with our next question, Justin here has a comment and a question. So, hello, Connie and Belle. Hello, Noel. I hope you all had a blessed day today. Thank you, Noel, for sharing with us today. You mentioned too many clients. How did you decide who to keep and who not to?
Actually, I think I'm blessed in the sense that it wasn't me who decided. I think it was God, actually, because I only let go of one client, but everybody else was like, you know what, I think we can't work anymore, we have to let you go, stuff like that. Because, but then, you know, like when they released me, or when I resigned them, another one replaced it. Not immediately, but, you know, like a week after, month after. Because I would be desperate, like, oh, shucks, I don't have a client anymore, I'm gonna get money, stuff like that. But after a while, I was like, okay, so, of course, I'm still afraid, but then I now had the mindset of, you know what, this client is gone because they were paying you a low rate, for example. So now, God is going to replace that with somebody who will pay you better. And that happened. When did that happen? Oh, yeah. Even just this year, I suddenly got released by a writing client. But then it was replaced 5 or 6 weeks later with another client who pays much better. So I think I'm happy with that. I'm blessed with that. I don't have to really decide, and I don't have any toxic clients, because it's God who sends the clients to me. So yeah.
Wow. Yes. Wow. It's like somebody's orchestrating it for you. Because yeah, orchestrating everything.
Yes.
Wow. Exactly.
Hashtag sana all. No.
Do you have any favorite Bible verse?
Actually, I have a tattoo. I'm not sure if I can see. But ooh, it's Isaiah 41:10. It says, I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. So this is one of the first tattoos I got. This is one of the first tattoos I got on my arm, because I have tattoos at my back before. But this one I got on my arm because I really believe that, you know, God is, you know, even if I don't act like it sometimes, because, sorry, we're all human, sorry. But anyway, I want to believe, I really believe that God is holding me. And he's always victorious, and he always, he always has me. I think that was proven many times during the pandemic, very, very much. And then I also like Romans 8:28. I know, like, God works for the good of those who love him. I think those are the two that really resonate with me. Because it just shows that, you know, God is working and God has you. He has your back. So, yeah, those are my two favorite verses.
I think that's it. One last question before we move to the main topic, which is how to sell your product or service through email via storytelling. Mm-hmm. One last question. If you were to look back to your younger self, when you're just learning about this industry, what would you say to him?
The funny thing is, now with many younger people getting on board with freelancing, I always tell myself, why didn't this happen during when I was in college?
True.
I would tell him that you can still take photography, sure, but you know what you need to learn is marketing. It's like, because when I was younger, when I was a kid, I just honestly thought that, you know, just because you're good at something, it, you know, everything will work out, right? But sadly, that's not the case, as you all know. So what's this? So I'm really gonna have to tell that guy, even if he's an introvert, you know, you really have to talk to people, you have to get to know people. That's how you market. And then you really have to really take up marketing. Don't lock yourself into just photography, because you know, you're gonna limit yourself. That's it. I think that's other bad.
Wow.
Love it.
That's right.
I think we need to let's share one comment from our viewer. So Andrew says, thank you for your sharing how God has been faithful with your freelancing journey. Great Bible verses, by the way.
Yes.
Thanks, Andrew.
So, okay, let's move forward with our next section for this live session. So Noel will be sharing with us how to sell a product or service through email via storytelling. So Noel, take it away.
I guess I'm just gonna press the present. Share screen. Share screen. Oh, there you go. So I'm just gonna present it like this. Yeah. So okay, great. Yeah. So yeah, so I'm just gonna talk about quickly how to sell a product or service through email with storytelling. So first thing, why are stories important, or why is storytelling important? One is because people love stories. You know, that's why we have the joke of the Marites and the Tollites, Toll Anolites, because you know, people love hearing stories. Then when you hear the stories, they usually build trust. That's the reason why you're always told to use marketing. We get testimonials of people, right? To build trust. Stories give value to a product or service because you can hear related to that, because you can hear how much that product gave value to them. Okay. And then, you know, you can also connect easier with stories because excuse me. You know, like you can go, oh yeah, I can totally relate to that story, or that happened to me too, you know, something like that. So there's an instant connection. And finally, it's because your product or service can sound more unique with the story, because you can make it sound like my product can do this for you and that no other product can do it, right? So if you don't believe me, you can check out the success of stories, right? So we have best-selling books, we have best-selling movies, we have best-selling cartoons, and the Bible is actually one of the most best-selling examples of our different favorite stories. Like, you know, why do people still know the story of Joseph or Joseph the Dreamer, right? There's a play about it. Why do people know the story of Jesus? Why do people know the story of David, Moses, Noah? You know, those are all stories. So it's those things that really stick. It's those things that really stick with people, which is why you really have to believe stories, right? So storytelling from the first sentence to the last is leading to a singular goal. Ideally confirming some truth that deepens our understanding of who we are as human beings, right? So since all of us have a story to tell, right, it affirms that we are who we are, we're people, you know, and people also want affirmation that our lives have meaning, right? So, you know, when you tell a story and then people go, oh yeah, that's so true, I can relate, you know, it makes you feel like you're, excuse me, you know, what you're doing is important, what you're saying is important, so you have affirmation. Okay, so in short, people are made of stories, and this is why it's important when you're selling. Okay, so here's the start of my presentation. Okay, so before anything else, I'm only going to tell you or show you how to write emails. The disclaimer here is, this is assuming you already have an email list or you have an audience already. Right, so if you don't have an email list yet, or if you don't have an audience yet, if no one knows who you are just yet, before you start sending out emails, make sure you already have an audience. Okay, then this is also the assumption that your offer is already set. Like, you already know what you're offering, you already know what you're, what you're offering, what you're selling. All right, it has to be clear. It could be a coaching program, it could be a copywriting course, etc. Okay, what else? So because of these, I will only talk about leads or the introductions of emails. Okay, so going back, if you have a clear offer already, you can always just connect that later to the email. So what's more important is you get people to read it via the intro or the lead, and then that's when they'll get into the offer. Okay, and finally, there are different kinds of emails. So there are pre-sale emails or pre-launch emails, which are not about selling yet, so you're just getting people to be intrigued. But since I said we'll be talking about selling, that's what we're going to talk about. Okay? So, first step, when you are selling, or when you're before writing the email, you have to go back to who you are. So again, you have to go check out your product and service and then be as specific as possible. So I use myself or the business we put up as an example. So Slice of Life Manila, it's a food photography and food styling service company. Okay, so we're clear with who we are. We're clear on the example that we are this company. So if you notice, I specifically put food photography. Because if I just put Slice of Life Manila photography service and styling service, that could mean many things. It could mean portrait photography, product photography, pet photography, you know, and the styling. It could have many connotations. Like when you say styling, it's not just food. It could be about the clothes. It could be about the setup. You know, so there are many, many connotations. You have to be as specific as possible. Okay? So next. This is what Slice of Life Manila sec. If you can see, it's not just the text, it's also about food. So mostly food. Yeah, food. Right? So it's very, very clear about who we are, what's our identity. Okay, next, you have to be clear on who you're selling to. Who's your audience? You have to ask yourself. So for Slice of Life, our example is food business. Because who else will we be selling to? Right, so that differentiates us from, say, food bloggers, food reviewers. Okay, so we can also do that service, but our primary service is photography and styling. Okay, so that's what differentiates us, and that's what they need. Make sure you're selling, offering a product that they really need, so that your email will be more effective. Okay, so excuse me. So we're selling food photography. Food businesses need visuals to be known, to be able to post stuff on their social media. So yes, it's a product or service that they really need, okay? And they have to make it look good, so the styling is also included, that it's really needed. Okay, three, what do we do for them? So we have to differentiate ourselves because we are not the only, you know, sad as it is, we're not the only food photography business out there. So what do we do? This specifically is our one-liner. We upscale your visuals to increase your sales. Okay, so that's our one-liner. So does that mean we give you great photos so much that it's so good, people will want to buy. People will want to will see the food photos that you're showing on your social media site and make you want, and it makes them want to buy. It'll make them message to buy your stuff. Okay, so make sure your offer is as concise, as complete as possible. It's clear. That's a redundant sentence. I'm so sorry. So it's clear what you're offering. Okay, because again, if we just put there, we shoot food photos, right? So it doesn't do anything for them. There's no emotional tug. There's no story. Right? So there's no story that, there's no cause and effect. There's no, you know, it doesn't answer. So what if you shoot my food photos? What will that do for me, right? So it already differentiates us from competitors because we specifically say we shoot food to increase your sales. We give you good photos to increase your sales. Unlike others who just go, we shoot food photos. Okay? So next. I'm going to show you leads in their offer. Okay, so leads, this is where the storytelling comes in. There are three stories you can immediately tell when writing emails. Okay, so writing the emails. So story one, you can talk about who you are. I forgot the what you can do for them. The dude disappeared, I'm so sorry, for the screen. So yeah, all about you and what you can do for them. So talk about who you are and what motivates you to do what you do. So I know in marketing, it says that you should be talking more about them rather than talking about yourself. But in this particular case, if you're new to the business and people don't know much about you yet, it would be great if they would get to know you. they would know more about who you are, what motivates you. So yeah, that would be great if you can talk about that. One great example is, you know, like what makes me do what I do, right? For example, Coach Neil Reichel, in one of his podcasts, he says he became a coach because when he was starting out as a freelancer, no one was a coach for him. So he wants to change that. He wants to be the coach for other people because he doesn't want others to feel that they're alone, right? So that with that example, wouldn't people feel like, wow, this guy is great, or this company is great? Wow, I love his motivation. I think I'd want to work with him, right? So talk about the hugot, your hugot of why you're doing what you're doing, okay? So for example, this is a sample lead, this sample email. So before we started Slice of Life, we had a wedding photography company. The main problem we had was that we didn't know how to market. We didn't know how to get help. No one was also willing to approach us and help us out. That's why we started Slice, to help out food companies like yours. So see, this first paragraph is our who got, our motivation, like we can relate to you, right? We know who you are, you're us. You know, you are people who also have no idea how to market. But now we're not like that, so we can help you. You know, you can be just like us if we're signing up. You're great at cooking and baking. You make really delicious treats, but no one knows about you, no one knows you exist, right? So see, that was the problem of the wedding photography. So by the way, these are just sample emails that I wrote quickly. So as you can see in writing emails, it doesn't have to be a long and complicated thing, especially if you really know who your audience is and who you are. It's a bit easier to write. So yeah, our photography thing helps spread the word for you, visually arresting, scroll-stopping photos that will make viewers on social media take more than a second look. In fact, they'll message you asking for more details, right? So imagine if you are a food photographer, you didn't know anything about marketing, and then you suddenly read this, and you're already someone who's willing to invest. I think you would want to read more. So below this is the lead. Below this, we can already put the offer. So for example, Slice of Life has 3 different packages, so on and so forth. And then of course the call to action, which is to reply to the email for more details. You can repeat those same things in your other emails. So, but again, this is what was taught to me by Coach Migs. If the lead is not compelling enough, no one is going to read your emails, right? So this is why I'm only talking about the leads, because the offer can be anything, but if the lead is not compelling, no one will care about your offer, okay? Okay, 2, past results or testimonials. So tell the story about someone you were able to help already. So this is another great story because it shows that, 1, you're a real person because people have interacted with you. 2, you know what you're talking about because you already have people. 3, this is not made up, so it's real. Like, you know, like when you give a testimony of how you met God, right? No one can ever accuse you that it's false because it's your story, right? So in the same way, if somebody gives a testimony about your service, no one can say that it's fake, right? Because they already experienced your service. So for example, I wrote here about a fictional person named Anna who owned Acme Bakery. Obviously, that's a fake bakery, right? So let's read it. When Anna started Acme Bakery during the pandemic, she started selling ube pandesal, which was one of the most popular pandemic foods at the time. The difference here was that she did everything from scratch. She didn't like using store-bought ingredients, even the ube. So what does that tell you? It tells you that Anna was using premium ingredients. So what does that tell readers? Oh, wow, this company serves premium clients, right? Because we emphasize that. Her problem was she didn't feel like they looked premium when she took photos. And because she sold the ube pandesal at a higher price compared to most bake shops, she needs their products to look leveled up. See, again, this is also a way of defining your audience, right? Because you don't want to sell to everybody, right? You want to send to a specific niche or specific people. And for this email, we want to sell to people who have money and are willing to invest. So that's another tip. Don't sell to people who are not willing to invest or do not see the value of your work because you really won't sell anything. So yeah, so this is the story. This is her story. So this is when she discovered a slice of life Manila, the end result. Well, we'll just let Anna say this. So you can use actual testimonials. So this is an example of an actual testimonial. Before I hired Slice of Life Manila, my bakery sales were just okay. I knew that my ube pandesal was delicious, but my photos just weren't doing justice. They always looked unappetizing. That's why I decided to invest in professional photography. I found Slice of Life Manila. They did an amazing job capturing the true beauty of my ube pandesal. The photos were bright, crisp, and made my baked goods look irresistible. I couldn't believe the difference it made in my sales. Customers were coming left and right saying they had seen my bakery online and had to try my ube pandesal. My business had grown so much in Slice of Life when I took over in photography, I couldn't be more grateful. Right? So, this would be more effective actually if there was a picture of Anna. About her name. Anna, yeah. There's the picture of Anna. And it could even be a video testimonial, but text is fine. Actually, it'd be good if it was a screenshot, really, not text, because obviously text will just look like anyone could have typed it. But if it was a message sent to Slice of Life, for example, or sent to you, you can use that screen cap. Of course, get the permission of your customer, and you can use that in your emails. So again, if that's the lead, then want to experience the same thing Anna did with your big shop, and more importantly, your sales. Create. So again, you can just put the same packages there. If yes, if the answer is yes, then check out our packages below. Then contact us for more details. The usual, right? So you can just rephrase that also. Then one more story. Problems that your audience will face, which you can solve. So that's another story. Let's see how that goes. Hey, Name. I'm stating the obvious, but it's hard being a business owner, especially if you're just starting out. That's especially if you're a food business owner. So again, the lead-in already says that we're talking to food business owners. So again, we go back to the principle of knowing who you're talking about. Right? So who you're talking to, right? Not only are you going to have to do all the cooking and baking, you also have to do the marketing, the sales, the coordination with suppliers, and so on. And if you don't do any of these things, your business may suffer as a result. Truth to tell, we're at the same things when you're starting out. Okay, so I probably should have included stuff there about wedding photography and marketing. Stuff like that. Because if you didn't know one of the things you can do to make life easier, outsourcing. So if you'll notice in emails, it's not necessarily that you should have good grammar. You should write how you talk, and you can even use all caps, and you can use ellipses, right? Yeah. So after all, you need to be able to free up your time to grow your business. So as soon as you've built up a budget, you should definitely allocate some for outsourcing. Excuse me. Speaking of outsourcing, you can leave food photography to us at Slice of Life Manila. We'd love to take some mouthwatering photos of your food and help you attract more customers online. And the best part, you won't have to worry about taking photos yourself or spend hours editing them. You even get all the shots all ready for you to post online. Alright, so we go back here, their story. We talk about their story, which is it's hard for a business owner to do everything. Alright, so the next solution is outsourcing. And outsourcing, which you can do, in particular, food photography, you can do it to Slice of Life Manila. Alright, so that's another story. So those are three. So you can only know those stories if you know yourself well, if you know your audience well. And of course, you've been researched to find out which problems they will really face when running the business. Okay. Then again, like I said, you can post your offer in the email after these leads, right? So after the leads, once you get them to read, post your offers. Okay. So just some things to take note of in writing. Only talk about one thing at a time, one problem, one solution. So one problem usually will emails. I also experienced this when I first starting out. I would try to solve all of their problems. So let's not. Don't solve all of their problems because businesses have a lot of problems. So, and it might be hard, especially if your product has a lot of features. So for example, you're selling a shoe. And the shoe is comfortable. The shoe looks great. The shoe is comfortable, great, and it's not expensive. So those are three features, right? But the features, for example, it looks good. So you're selling to, say, fashionistas. They won't necessarily care if it's cheap. They won't necessarily care if it's comfortable, as long as it looks good. So comfort, it could be for people who have injuries. So again, they won't necessarily care that it looks good. They don't necessarily care also that it's cheap. And one more market you can sell to is those people who are looking for cheap, good-looking shoes. So they might necessarily care about comfort. So my point is, when writing emails and you have products that have, or services that have different segments, it's, or different audiences, it's better to write a different email for each of those segments and send them separately. Don't include everything in one email because it has to be clear who you're talking. Okay, so another tip, use language that the people you're talking to can relate to. Right, so if you notice, I use very simple language. I didn't use any highfalutin big words or whatever because remember it's an email. When people read emails, it's usually in an office setting. So they're kind of in a rush or even on the phone. Right? So emails shouldn't be long and should be understandable immediately. And of course, if scientists or scholars have emails, then you're gonna have to use the language that they're using, so that they really feel you're talking to them. Then again, one more tip, right? Like how you're talking, like how I'm talking, it's very casual language, but you also get straight to the point. So, don't go too long. Just get straight to the point. So here's how I like to structure it: a lead problem, the solution, then a call to action. So it's that simple three only. Just so, especially if you're starting up, so don't think about it too much. Okay, so bonus, which one of these story leads should you use? We have what we call an email sequence. You should try to use them all in one sequence. You want to send your potential buyers more than an email, right? If you remember, guys, in Luke 11, 5 to 10, Jesus talks about the parable of the really persistent guy or a persistent neighbor, or I'm not sure if it was parable, but he talks about being persistent. Like the guy who tells his friend, I need something from you. The friend goes, go away, I'm going to sleep. And then the guy keeps knocking on his door. And then Jesus says, what do you think the friend will do? Will he not get up and finally answer, open the door? Because you were so persistent. So you have to be persistent, because if you only send your audience one email, you're not even sure if they'll be able, if they'll really open that one email. So you have to keep sending emails to remind them as much as possible about your offer until your offer expires. So yeah, keep reminding your audience about your offer as much as possible. So yeah, my presentation is an end, and I hope you were able to get something from that.
You know how persuasive that is. Even if I don't have a bake shop, I feel like hiring you guys from Slice of Life Manila. Amazing.
I think Andrew has a question.
Yes.
Just curious, can you share what was the most challenging product you have to sell through email storytelling?
The most challenging product. I think one of the more challenging products was I can't say because the client might see it. But I think one of the most, think about it this way. A challenging product is something that is not clear. If the product market fit is not there, that would be really challenging. So, for example, you have a guy whose personality comes off as really cold, but he's brilliant at what he does. So the problem is, if you don't fix his branding first, no matter how good he is, no matter how you try to say, no, he's a really great guy. And, you know, it's like, think about it as dating, right? So, when it comes to dating, you know, like, if you're selling a guy to somebody or a girl to somebody, no, yeah, he's really great, he's funny. But then, right? But then, you see his image, like, he's just serious. I can't even make the serious face. But when he comes up as very serious, very stiff, very formal, I don't know if you watched Bridget Jones' Diary. Colin Firth's character there, right? At first, you couldn't see him as he's actually funny, scary, and stuff. He's just very stiff. So imagine trying to sell that guy to somebody who, no, oh, yeah, he's really great. Like, really? You know, so I think that would be really the product itself. I think that's the real challenge. If the product isn't good and then the market won't accept it, that's the really challenging part.
So you're not selling a coach, huh?
No
comment. Okay, on to the next section.
Yeah, so we are now moving to fast Q&A round. So Sis Bel, take it away.
Yes, the this is the that portion when we get to know Noel more. Let's see. Let's see when he answers these questions. So, first question, cake or pie?
No, shucks, that's so hard. It depends on the flavor, I think. If you said mango pie, then yes, pie. But if it was apple or something else, I'd go with cake. Yeah.
Okay. Able to speak every language in the world or able to talk to animals?
Language, every part of the world.
The last movie or series you watched?
Right now we're watching Japanese Demon Slayer, the anime. Something Yaiba, whatever. Sorry. So we're watching that now on Netflix. We're on season one right now. Yeah.
Ooh. My kids will be able to relate to that. Last song playing on your mind, your LSS song.
None. I can't think of any song that is an LSS in my mind. When I'm working, I like silence. So I don't have any LSS.
Nice. Fair enough. Teleportation or flying?
I think teleportation, it's faster.
Last book you've read?
The one I finished was Tony Robbins, the title, Awaken the Giant Within. Yeah, but right now I'm reading The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. So yeah, I think I'm just entering habit 2.
Yay. Top 3 people you follow?
Top 3 people I follow. Oh my gosh. In what sense?
Anything. Any area. Okay. Kalokohan.
Oh my gosh. In no particular order, I definitely follow Coach Neil Reichel because he's very entertaining but educational at the same time. So I definitely want to not be him, more of like emulate what he does. So you know, funny and at the same time full of wisdom. Yeah. Then who else do I follow? This is a very challenging question. I feel like I'm not normal. Who else do I follow? Let's just go with people I admire. So the next one I admire is Justin Timberlake. Because it's actually very amazing how he transformed his career from a boy band guy, a pop guy, to now he's like he's a producer, he's very fashionista, you know. So excuse me. So that's one guy I really admire. Like he's able to reinvent himself. And I guess one more is another coach, Coach Cholin. He's behind Minimalist Fitness, Basic Cut, Kaizen. So he calls himself a fitness coach, but he's actually a life development coach in here in the Philippines. So if you knew his story, he before he was just a bum party guy, but then after he got serious about everything, he made his first million in 6 months. So yeah, very, very admirable.
Yes, we'll look into his social. Is he online?
Yeah, look for the Lazy Lifter or Choli. Lazy Lifter. So okay. Yeah, so he has 6-pack or 8-pack abs. So for info. Anyway.
Okay, Dad. educational purposes.
Educational purposes, that's fine.
Yeah, next question. This is an easier one. Paper or plastic?
Sorry if I'm harming the environment, but I really prefer plastic. So.
No judgment. Summer or rainy days?
Definitely. Actually, neither. Can I just go with a sunny day with a little bit of wind there?
Yes. Favorite day of the week?
I think Friday, because every Friday after our AC, that's when my family would traditionally go to a nearby outside, not the festival, an outside area, Somo Mall in Bacoor. Not Somo Mall, Somo Ground. So it's an outdoor thing where they sell food and stuff. So we take that time to just enjoy the outdoors. Because yeah, so we bond over there, we just eat, and my son plays in with his tracks or watches his phone, whatever, but it's outdoors, yeah, so I think Friday is my favorite time of the week, rather.
Yay. How about this question? Ask permission or beg for forgiveness?
I'll ask for permission because my wife is scary when she's angry. So, no.
You don't want to see that. Okay.
Yes, I don't want to see that.
Last but not the least, if you could have a face-to-face conversation with God and ask Him one question or say one thing, what would it be?
Well, I think I'd want to ask Him a lot, actually. But maybe I'd probably just ask Him, so this is nerdy, but I think I'd ask Him about the timeline of, you know, like, did the timeline of men and dinosaurs intersect also? Because up to now, my wife and I really still think about it, like, when, you know, like, which came first, or did they intersect, or whatever, like, I really want to know the intersection of that time period, so yeah, I think I'd ask Him that.
We're curious to know too. So with that, thank you. That concludes our fast Q&A round. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yay. Any last piece of advice you can share to our aspiring freelancers?
Okay, aspiring freelancers. So if you're still a teenager, start now. don't be like us in the older generation who found out late. Because at least right now, you want to start earning honest money, honest clean money. No, not the lotto, not the gambling, whatever. So yeah, start as early as now. If you're one of those who right now maybe feeling like there's no hope, but because I always usually see a lot of posts in even in dad groups or whatever groups, like they're stuck with what they're doing right now and they don't know what to do next or they don't have to make more money. Like my wife also tells me about like somebody's only earning 30,000 and then they're the breadwinner and you know they end up having no savings, whatever. So I don't know if I speak from a place of privilege or luck or whatever, but I will also urge you to try freelancing, because you know I didn't know 2023 I would be here writing, right? So I think you really just have to open yourself to plenty of possibilities, that of things that could happen, and you let them happen. Again, guys, I started as a photographer, which is totally unrelated to writing. I mean, we tell stories, but you know, in a totally different way, in totally different media, whatever. But then, you know, I had to relearn things. So I think that's also one thing I have to do if I ever really want to get better than what you are in life right now. You have to learn some things, and you have to accept that the version of who you are right now got you to where you are, but it's not gonna take you to the next step. So you're really going to have to become somebody new, and if that means you're giving up your work or looking for something new and taking the plunge, you really have to do it. If not for yourself, for the people who are relying on you. So, but you know, better to do it for yourself first, because you know, so you won't feel like you're forced or anything like that.
Yay. Do you have anything you'd like to promote or something?
I collaborated recently with a friend from Tribe. So we're targeting emails for SaaS, for software as a service providers. So we just called it SaaS Boys. So we just recently opened it. Our first post was just yesterday, literally. The other day, whichever. So we're literally just starting it. So yeah, if you can follow it on Facebook and LinkedIn. We don't have an Instagram. It's just so right now we just plan to post a lot of memes promoting emails. So yeah, I think that's what we really want promotion right now. For that. So yeah, if you want to see a bunch of memes promoting the how great email is, yeah, follow SaaS Boys on Facebook and LinkedIn.
Okay, feel free to check the link in the description to connect to Noel. And I think that's it for us. Ooh, okay, before we end, of course, if you're still wondering how to start your virtual assistant business, feel free to visit conniezabala.com/VA book to get your copy. See, I think we have a comment. Okay, Krista said, thank you so much, Mr. Noel, and to everyone who are here on our live event. Thank you, Christelle. Okay, let's have a closing prayer before we end. Now remember that we are in the presence of God, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for another episode done successfully. Thank you for the opportunity to share our knowledge and experience to serve our clients. Hopefully, our fellow service providers were able to learn something too. Thank you to all the people who support us in our mission. Thank you for the chance to bless others through this platform. We lift up to you all our viewers, our listeners, our clients, the people we work with, and their loved ones, especially Noel and his family. Continue to bless them in all areas of their lives. Whatever their petitions are right now, we pray with them, believing that whatever happens, you always have the best intentions for us. We lift up to you all these, but in the end, your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Name the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. For our viewers, we hope to see you on Monday for another live praise and worship session. Noel, thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, guys.
Yes. Bye, everyone. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Freelancing with Faith podcast by Connie and Bell.
We hope you've learned something and enjoyed the podcast.
Feel free to share our show with your friends and family.
Check our website at freelancingwithfaith.com.
Or you can also connect with us via YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Freelancing with Faith.
We'd love to hear from you. We also appreciate any review, feedback, or suggestions you can give us to continuously improve our content.
Make sure to be there in our next episode.
We look forward to sharing more tips and faith stories with you.